for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thanksgiving weekend, Friday morning, November 28, 1986. Tommy Cook is the speaker of the morning. It's a privilege to have Brother Tommy back with us. Many of you have heard him before, and to many of you, I, who's a new minister, but the blessing of the Lord flows through him and the anointing of the Lord, and we appreciate his ministry, and we recommend his ministry. And if you have a prayer group somewhere and you need somebody to minister once in a while, every month or every couple of months, why, Brother Tommy, see him and see if he can arrange to fit you into his schedule, and you'll not be sorry that you had him. He's a wonderful anointed minister of the Lord, Brother Tommy Cook from Tulsa area in Oklahoma, and we're just glad that he's part of the family of the campground. Amen.
Now, my little grandson highly recommends Brother Tommy. He says Brother Tommy Cooks, he calls him Cooks, is his favorite preacher. Praise the Lord. With all that talk about the young children this morning, I think we ought to stand and sing God's Got an Army. God's got an army marching through the land, deliverance in our song and healing in our hand, everlasting joy and gladness in our heart, and in God's army I've got a part. God's got an army marching through the land, deliverance in our song and healing in our hand, everlasting joy and gladness in our heart, and in God's army I've got a part. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty, they are mighty. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through the Holy Ghost. God's got an army, we're marching through the land, deliverance in our song and healing in our hand, everlasting joy and gladness in our heart, and in God's army I've got a part. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty, they are mighty. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord, thank you, Jesus. Our Father, we bless you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, your goodness, and your mercy. And now, Lord, as we endeavor to teach thy word, we ask the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to minister through us today, Lord. Lord God, let our mouths say nothing, only except that which you would have us to say. And we bless your people. And everybody said, amen, amen. I want to say something a little further of what Brother Miller said concerning Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, let's look at it again just a second before we go into the teaching today. You know, Samuel had an attitude, and the attitude was this, I believe, as he learned the voice of God. Lord, you speak, and I will listen. You know, in the Song of Solomon, the little maid who's the type of the church, she does a lot of speaking. But as she begins to mature in the Lord, she learns to quit speaking and start listening. I mean, no, that's a message. Amen. Now, in Samuel, you'll notice in verse 1 of chapter 3, the child Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now, Eli is a type of the old order. Samuel is a type of the new order coming forth. How many know God's bringing us out of the old and into the new? Taking us out of the old thinking and bringing us into some new thinking. And it says, and the word of the Lord was precious. And that word precious means rare. It's something that's costly. It was precious in those days when there was no open vision. That means something was closed. Well, how many know to many there is no open vision today? Things of the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord is closed to many. But it doesn't have to be that way. Amen? No, it doesn't have to be that way. Now, in a day when there was no vision, God came to Samuel and brought an entire nation back to God. Because this man was willing to have an attitude, again, Lord, you speak, and I will listen. And look in verse 10, the fourth time the Lord comes to Samuel. Four is the number of the world, it's the number of creation. How many know that God has a people around the world that's willing to hear Him? He has a remnant. Not everybody. He has some overcomers that are desiring to hear the voice of the Lord. And it said in verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Hallelujah. And then, as Brother Glenn said in verse 19, he began to grow in the Lord, and God didn't let any words fall to the ground of Samuel. Verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, God is no respecter of persons. What he did in Samuel, he'll do in a people today. We're not all called prophets. But we can all be used by God, and we can have a revelation of Jesus within us. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, turn to the book of Revelation today. Chapter 21. How many had a few tests before you got here to the campground? I'll raise both of mine. Hallelujah. You know, more and more God's showing us the more we need Him, Jesus, and the more we need each other in the Lord. We're not a bone on our own. Revelation 21, 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Something new. Again, God's bringing forth something new in you and in me. Amen. New heavens, new earth, new covenant, new blood, everything's new. New wineskins, new wine. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God. Not going up, but coming down. Well, that which goes up has got to come down, of course. I mean, oh, God's wanting to take us all up higher in the Spirit. Amen. He spoke those words recently to me, that He wanted to take me higher in the Spirit. You know, 24 days ago, the Lord spoke to me. I was in a meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and God said, there's coming a shaking in the nation, in the land, no, in the land. And I know you can see this many ways and many aspects, but I believe part of the shaking, God said, could be what's happening in our government. And I begin to prophesy at different places I've been going. We need to pray for the president. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for the nation. That God's will be wrought and done. Amen? But he said here in verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And you know, a bride, she never comes to a wedding with one shoe off, and her hair sloppy, and her face all messed up. But she is prepared. She is ready to present herself to, or be presented to her husband. Praise the Lord. Now, I won't go into the bride this morning, but come on down in this chapter. Look at verse 9 and 10. I want to read you two other scriptures. And then I'm going to take you to the Old Testament. God was speaking to me early this morning about some things we want to get into. In Revelation 21, 9 and 10, there came to me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither. How many know there's going to be some judgments come up on the earth? It's the Word of God. But we know the wrath of God's not coming on His people. It's going to come on the wicked. Isn't that right? And so right here in verse 9, it said, that the angel said, come hither, come closer, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away. That's a good way to get carried away. In the spirit. To a great and to a high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And the word, next word says, having or echoing the very glory of God. And her light was like unto stone, most precious, and so forth. Now, come on down in the chapter with me. Look in verse 12 there. Notice it said about the city, she had a wall great and high, and had how many gates? 12 gates. 12 is a number of divine government. How many believe that God is going to have a church in His government? Not man's, God's government. Now, we've seen enough of man's government, but we want God's government. And notice, at the 12 gates were 12 angels, 12 messengers. The names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So we can see connected with the 12 gates are the 12 gates of the tribes of Israel. Praise the Lord. Verse 13, on the east was 3 gates. On the north was 3, in the south 3, in the west was 3 gates. Now look in verse 16. Look in verse 16. The city lieth 4 square. The length is as large as the breadth. He measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now look in verse 21. Verse 21. And the 12 gates, come on, were what? 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, pearl speaks of that which is rare or costly and something that's beautiful. Isn't that right? I won't go into how pearls are made, but how many know it speaks of suffering and irritation? And so when we talk about going through the gates, we talk about 12 experiences in God. We talk about the government of God, where He actually becomes truly Lord of spirit, come on, soul, and body. And Brother White, as he said this morning, He's only Lord over those that obey Him. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say unto you? But when we're talking about the 12 gates, we're dealing with government. We're dealing with a progressive walk in God. We're talking about an experience in the soul, maturity, and many other things here that we could get into. Now go to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, before we go to Genesis. We'll give you two scriptures in Isaiah, then we're going to Genesis. Isaiah 62. Now, if I thought I was going to bring this word today, you know, which I didn't think, it'd be like me being on Mars tomorrow. But all of a sudden, early this morning, I heard him saying, this is what I want you to bring. But in Isaiah 62, verse 10, says, go through, not go under, go through something. Yes, or over it, overcome it, that's right. It's better to go through than for it to overcome you, isn't that right? Or put you under. Go through the gates. It's a command, not an option. Prepare ye the way of the people. Of course, we know, first of all, Jesus has prepared the way into the Holy of Holies, isn't that right? He was the forerunner. He is the forerunner. But yet He's bringing up some sons, some overcomers who are preparing the way in His image. Prepare you the way of the people. Cast up the highway. That's a highway of holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Gather out the stones. There's a purging. There's a cleansing. And lift up a standard for the people. The standard is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit through you and me will lift up that standard. Amen? Now, turn to Isaiah 26, verse 2 and 3. Isaiah 26, 2 and 3. It says, open ye the gates. How many gates were there? 12 gates. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, I mean, Peter calls it a holy nation, that the righteous nation, a nation that follows righteousness, or the kingdom, or Jesus, Open ye the gates that the righteous nation may, which keeps the truth, may enter in. Now, let's go back to Revelation before we go to Genesis 22. Chapter 22, 12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Chapter 22, verse 12 of Genesis, Revelation. Notice the scripture in verse 12, what God said. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You can't stand in for your brother or your sister. You've got to stand in for yourself. Give an account for your own work. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, verse 14, blessed. How many know that means to be envied? Not in a bad sense. Prosperous, happy, fortunate are they that do. Now just hear. His commandment. They practice His word, His commandments, His saying in their life. That they may have the right or the privilege or the authority to something. The tree of life. And it's not something way out there. It can be right now as we practice the commandments. Amen? Notice that they may have a right to the tree of life and they may enter in through the gate into the city. Now, who's going to enter the gates? Those that do His commandments. Those that practice His sayings, His word. They will be allowed to enter in through the gates into the city, and they can partake of the tree of life. Turn to chapter 2, verse 7 of Revelation. We'll see who they are. Chapter 2, verse 7, in the Word of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. It's the overcomer that will keep the commandments. It's the overcomer that will enter through the gates of the city first. And it's the overcomer that will partake of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now turn to Genesis 49. Now we saw there was a unity or a oneness in the 12 gates and the 12 tribes of Israel. Hallelujah. First the natural, then the spirit. I mean, know that Israel is a timetable in the Word of God. And I believe things that we see in the natural also take place in the spiritual realm. Or vice versa. Now in Genesis 49, verse 1, God said, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together. I mean, oh, to gather something together means that something's been scattered. Well, how many know there's a lot of things scattered today? And yet God wants to gather a people together. Not just for gathering's sake, we're together around Him. Isn't that right? Yeah. Jesus. And Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together. We know the Bible says, forsake not the assembling or the gathering yourselves together, as the manner of some is. As you see, he said, how much more are we to do that as we see the day of the Lord approaching? Amen. So God's gathering a people together. Now here again is a command. It is not an option. Gather yourselves together. Now, I'm going to give you several scriptures here. Turn to Psalms 50. And I'm going to take my time this morning until the Holy Ghost tells me to quit. In Psalms 50, I believe it's 50, and verse 5. Thank you. Somebody's already read my message. Gather my saints together. That's what we're doing in this camp. Unto me, unto Him. Those that have made a covenant, I mean, a covenant speaks of a contract with me by sacrifice, that which will cost you something. It may cost you airplane fare or whatever to get here in this camp. But how many know if you have needs in your life, it's worth coming? Amen? As Brother Miller said, we haven't arrived yet. We're all... We're all seeking perfection, but we haven't arrived and attained to that yet. And we're not going to have it without deliverance and healing and all these things that go with it. Amen? But he said, gather my saints together unto me. Amen. Those that are made a covenant by sacrifice. So we've gathered together unto him today. Now, one other scripture, Zephaniah 2. Zephaniah 2. How many know that's an end time book too? Zephaniah 2. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. So here's that nation again. Before the decree bring forth, and before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord. Now let me tell you something. God has had me in the book of Amos a lot lately, and one of the things God showed me in the book of Amos was this. God's people were seeking the house of God and not the God of the house. And there are people in church some places every night. And many times God's not in it. Because they're only doing natural things. They're only caught up in, and we're not against natural things. There are times we have to do natural things. But I'm saying though, God is not in every meeting. Amen. And so there's a difference. You can seek the house of God or you can seek the God of the house. Seek ye the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. That's the kingdom. That's Jesus. Seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. God's anger is coming in the days ahead. But for those that will seek him, it'll be their protection. All right, now, let's go back to Genesis 49. So he said, gather yourselves together, Jacob tells the sons, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. I believe this has a natural meaning as well as spiritual meaning. And so there's coming revelation for the last days. How many know we're living in the last days? We're living towards the end of the age. And I believe great revelations are going to come forth in the church to God's people. And so Jacob said, I want to tell you some things that will befall you in the last days. Verse 2, gather yourselves together again and hear you sons of Jacob and hearken or hear unto Israel your father. We know Israel means a prince of God. We know Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And we know there was only one son born to him under that new nature, and that was Benjamin, the son of the right hand. Next verse, verse 3, Reuben. Reuben, what does Reuben mean? It means to behold a son. I mean, when you get born again, you behold the son. His name is Jesus. His name means to behold a son. Reuben speaks of a born again experience in God. And there are many in the church who say they are Jews and yet they are not Jews. There are many who say, yes, I am saved, but I've never met Jesus. Amen. Reuben, thou art my firstborn. Now notice the potential in Reuben. Notice the potential that's in you and me. That seed's been placed in us by the Holy Spirit. What is it? Notice, my firstborn, my might. The beginning of my what? My strength. The excellency of dignity and of power. We can sing about having the power, and that's all right. But how many know there's a price to pay for the power of God in our life? Yes, the Holy Ghost is a gift. Jesus is a gift. But from there out, you have got to seek God and cry out for God. Amen? By the tools he's given. Hallelujah. So Reuben is the firstborn. He is a type of the born-again experience. Now look at verse 4. What is he? Unstable as water. I mean, oh, there are areas in all of us, whether we've just been born again yesterday or 20 years, we're unstable. But we see this especially in the babes in the Lord. They're unstable as water. He said, thou shalt not excel because thou wentest up to thy father's bed and defiled it, and he went up to my couch. Defilement. Hallelujah. How many know it's dangerous to stay a baby all of our life? Because of the deceptions, the lust, and the things that come into our life. It's only as we grow in God that we can get cleaned up and get delivered. Amen. Now, what's the next word? Simeon. Simeon means hearing. How many know you begin to hear when you receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost? The scripture says he gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey him. You ever read that in Acts chapter 5? How many know that's just not a one-time experience? He wants obedience daily in our life, brethren. Amen? Hallelujah. But it means to hear. Actually, to come under or to listen. But what do you do when you hear? You must what? Obey. Hallelujah. This name, Simeon, speaks to me of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You begin to hear. This experience really begins to move you from traditions to truth. Somebody say amen. 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 And this is why the Pharisees fight this experience. Because when you begin to hear God, you begin to discern them and their motive. Amen. And how many know this experience unlocks the Word of God to your heart? Hallelujah. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit. Come on. And they're life. And so we need a working of the Spirit in our life to hear Him. Amen. Glory to God. Now, notice, what's the next name? Levi. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Now, Levi means that which it speaks of a union or a joining or a cleaving. Now, let's see something here. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. How many know there are spirit-filled people who have had an experience with God have some cruelty in them? That's why we need deliverance. Amen? Now, one way it'll come in is to receive from God and then sit down on God. Some of the most bitter people, come on, are those who've had an experience in the Holy Spirit, and today they're no longer walking in that experience in God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Bitterness. How many know it'll spring up? Not only defile you and me, but defile many others. Amen? Bitterness. The devil will let you give up a work of the flesh to put bitterness in your heart. Because that's where it's at. Hallelujah. And so, these are brethren. These two. Simeon and Levi. But what did God say to them? Well, verse 6, O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their what? Unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man. In their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, their wrath, for it was cruel. God, now notice what God said, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Well, how many know God can still divide and scatter? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to show you a scripture, though, about Levi. I want us to turn to Malachi 2. Malachi. Now, how many know that Levi speaks of spiritual ministry? How many know that God chose the tribe of Levi? Huh? To be preached. Chapter 2 of Malachi. Verse 4. Notice what God said. You shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me tell you another reason why God chose Levi, because Levi feared God. He had reverential fear for God. Verse 5. My covenant was with him of life and peace. And I gave them to him for, here it is, the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should keep seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So God chose Levi because he feared him. He feared God. Amen? Now turn to Deuteronomy just a minute. Chapter 33, verse 8, I think. Maybe I'm right. 33:8. Yes. Chapter 33, verse 8. And of Levi, he said, let thy thummim and thy Urim, how many know that speaks of perfection and light? Levi said, let thy thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgment, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and hold a burnt sacrifice upon thy altar. Bless Lord his substance and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, they that rise not again. Praise the Lord. So Levi speaks of a union, a joining, a cleaving, but it speaks of spiritual ministry. I mean, know that we are a ministering body. Scripture talks about many boards. I'm talking about now from Scripture, thinking of the body of Christ. Many boards, many stones, many teeth, many crumbs, many joints, many flames, many grapes, many soldiers, many grains of salt, many clouds. We are a body in Him. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go back to Genesis 49. Now, look in verse 8. We all know, I think, what Judah means. What does it mean? Praise. Praise. But how many know there is a praise that will betray? How many know Judas was one of the 12? And Judas betrayed Jesus for what? For money. But there is a Judas praise that will betray. You know what it is? It's that which comes out of the mind and the mental realm and not out of the heart. And it will betray Jesus every time. I mean, we can go through the motions and not mean it. And I'll be honest, and many times you prayed in tongues and your heart wasn't in it. Sure. And here it said, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck or in the will of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now look at verse 9. Here's a 30, 60, and 100 principle right here in verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp or cub. How many know you become a cub in the Lord? Little one. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. That's an older lion. And then as what? An old lion who shall rouse him up. So there's a cub, there's a lion, and there's an old lion. 30, 60, 100. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah. He was a lamb, but he's also a lion. That lamb can be meek and gentle, but he can roar through you and me. The righteous, come on, are as bold as a lion. Somebody said, the righteous are as bold as a lion and scared as a rabbit. Sometimes we allow it. That isn't Scripture, though. That isn't Scripture. So there's the cub, there's the lion, and there's the old lion. Who shall rouse him up? And God wants us to learn to become praisers. Amen? There is vain worship. There is that which is insincere. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 15. There is the will worship, the cheerleader. You got to have about, you know, raise your hands, get up, let's sit down. How many know that sometimes that we have to have that? But we need to learn to come in and praise Him. Amen. We don't need to have to be made to raise our hands or to stand up or sit down or praise the Lord. Amen. Then there are those who ignorantly worship and yet they can be sincere and be wrong. That's Acts 17:23. But God's looking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Let's see what He says about Judah now. The scepter, verse 10, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Hallelujah. How many believe He's coming? And unto Him shall the gathering of the people be, unto Him, for no other purpose but except unto Him. Amen. Binding his foal unto his vine, his ass's coat unto the choice vine. Hallelujah, He's got a choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, his cloak, there's a lot in these scriptures, in the blood of grapes, his eyes shall be red with wine, his teeth white with milk. I mean, that praise today destroys Babylon. It destroys confusion in our life. Hallelujah. Every prison house, every place of limitation, praise will bring it down. Hallelujah. Ask Paul and Silas someday. In Acts 16. Amen. Now, let me show you a fourfold blessing of prayer of Judah. Turn back to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. Here is a blessing to those that praise the Lord. 33:7 of Deuteronomy, brother. And this is the blessing of Judah. This is the blessing of the praisers. And he said, hear, Lord, number one, the voice of Judah. Number one. Hear my voice, Lord. Number two, bring him unto his people. You're going to be led by the Holy Ghost to the people of God. Three, let his hands be sufficient for him. His hand. How many know that God wants to lay your hands on people too? Be sufficient. Amen. Cast out devils. Heal the sick and whatever. Four, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. To who? To those that praise him. We got help coming from God from our enemies. Or to our enemies. Hallelujah. So there's the fourfold blessing of those that praise the Lord. All right, let's go back to Genesis now. 49, verse 13. Zebulun. Zebulun means a habitation or a dwelling place or a place to reside. How many know we're the habitation of God today? We are the temple of God, the tabernacle of God, the house of God, the sanctuary of God, the building of God, the mansion of God, the city of the living God, and we're His dwelling place. Amen. And Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. Notice that. He'll dwell. I mean, all the trouble in the church is many don't want to dwell. They want to run. Can somebody say amen? I said they want to run. But before you run, you better dwell. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. Sea can speak of natural waters and humanity. He shall be as a haven of ships. How many of that speaks of rest? His border shall be unto Zidon. Now, I believe this gate speaks of identification with the body of Christ. And we must be in our place where God puts each one of us, wherever that may be. I can't tell you. Only God can tell you that. Amen? How many believe in local fellowships? Amen? Local work of God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to show you a couple of scriptures here just real quick. Turn to 1 Chronicles 12:32. It's 12:33. Yes. 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 33. Here it speaks of Zebulun. more than just one that dwells, but we come together, we learn together, and there's something we must learn as we come together. Verse 33, of Zebulun, such as went forth to what? To battle. Now, each one of us have our own battles. Amen? How many know the battle's increasing? How many know the pressure's increasing? But they went forth to battle. And notice they were expert in war. With all instruments of war. God's not going to let you go to battle and war without giving you some instruments of war. Amen? Unless we're just, you know, naive. 50,000 which could keep rank. You ever been in the army? How many's ever been in the army? How many ever had a soldier that couldn't keep rank? And he was just bobbing up and down while everybody else was walking in step. Amen? He was a standout. Everybody could see it. And of course the military officers could see it when we'd go by, parade by them. But here it says that these were men who went forth to battle. They were expert in war. They had instruments of war. They could keep rank. Why? Because they were not of double heart. And where your heart is, that is where your treasure is. And you cannot be an expert in war. You cannot go into battle if your heart, one eye is on Jesus and one eye is out there. It's only a single eye that'll bring the results. And the single eye is when our eyes are on Him. Totally. Amen. Now notice, expert in war. Now turn to the Song of Solomon. Oh, hallelujah. Song of Solomon, right before what? Isaiah? Look at chapter 3. Now, he's asking the question, brethren, in chapter 3, verse 6 of the Song of Solomon. Who is this that cometh out, he hasn't been overcome in it, he comes out of the wilderness. How many know we can get a wilderness complex? Every one of us. Now, I'm not telling you you won't know the wilderness, because you will if you're going on for God. You'll know it in different times. But who is it that comes out of the wilderness? First of all, think of Jesus. How many know He went into the wilderness 40 days, tempted of the devil? Who led Him there? The Holy Ghost. Who you think will lead you into yours? Holy Ghost. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh? He's got a good smell. But how do you know myrrh speaks of suffering and death? And before sweetness, there is suffering, isn't there? And frankincense with all powders of the merchant. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords. Now notice, being expert in what? Where did they learn that? Right in the wilderness. Every man, do you hear that? Hath his sword upon his thigh. How many know the thigh is that strong part of you? It's that reproductive area of you. Where you reproduce. There's no reproduction without the Word of God, is there? The Holy Spirit, of course. Because of the fear of the night. Expert in war. They learn through warfare, through engagements in warfare. Okay, let's go back now to Genesis. Hallelujah. So we can see that Zebulun means to dwell or haven. Now I could go into the local church principle. I won't go into that today. Speaks of a haven of ships at his borders and so forth here. But it does speak of a habitation, a dwelling place, a residing place. And it speaks of our place in the body of Christ. Now verse 14. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. Issachar means reward or hire, payment or contract or wages or a price or something that's worth something. Well, how many believe there's some Issachars in the body of Christ? How many know there's some in the church that you cannot buy them off? But there's some that have sold out on many levels. There is a Balaam spirit in the church. And as you turn your television on, as you turn your radio on, you can hear it day by day. We're not against miracles. We believe in miracles. But if that's all men are after, many times it goes from miracles to money. But to have miracles, it takes the nature of God coming into us to keep us from manipulating and getting out of others things we shouldn't know. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. But there is a Balaam spirit. Balaam was a prophet of God. He had visions. He had opened heaven. He had a gift and he ran for money. And that thing that we open up to, we become one with it. He became one with it and he left the ministry of God and became a soothsayer and he died that way. Amen. How many know that many men and women of God, God has used mightily, have fallen because of money. And it behooves each one of us that we judge our hearts, that we do not seduce. Come on. That we do not covet or lust or be bribed. Turn to Proverbs 15. Hallelujah. You don't have to be in the ministry to be bribed. Amen. I've seen Christians, hear me, fall over other Christians who had a lot of money. And I've seen them borrow from other Christians and never pay them back. How many know that's wrong? How many know we owe bills? We're to pay bills. He said, if we seek first the kingdom of God, he would supply our needs. Isn't that right? Chapter 15, verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. How many know that bribery, lust, and covetousness will bring arthritis into bodies, as well as unforgiveness? He that is greedy of gain troubles his own house. This house first. God gave me a message recently how we defile ourselves seven ways. But he that hateth gifts or bribes shall what? Live. Turn that around. If we love bribes, we will die. Let's go back to Genesis 49, verse 14. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good in the land, that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulders to bear and became a servant unto what? Tribute. Now turn back to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 12, and look at verse 32, I believe it is. Let me show you something about this Issachar. Issachar, chapter 12 of 1 Chronicles, verse 33. Of Zebulun such as went forth to battle. Well, how many know if we're bribing, if we're covetous and lustful, you can go to battle all day long, 24 hours a day. It won't do any good. But of Zebulun such as went forth to battle, expert in war again. Now, it's one read along with verse 32. I'm sorry. The children of Issachar, which were men, M-E-N. Now, that was natural men. But God wants us to grow up and become what? Men in him. Mature men. That had what? Understanding of something. Of the times. Many are not aware of the time we're living in 1986. That war could break out. Destruction could come. Everything could fall overnight. Amen? They had understanding. With all you're getting, get some understanding. Jesus told the religious people of his day they could discern the sky, but they could not discern the one that stood in their very midst. Now, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know, had knowledge. Hallelujah. They had knowledge. How many know there's knowledge by experience? There's knowledge by revelation. And that which you have an experience in and you know by revelation, God can put it so in your heart that you'll have absolute knowledge of that very thing he's showing you. I mean, those different kinds of knowledge in Scripture. And so right here, it says that they would know what Israel, the church, today, I would bring it over into the spiritual realm, what the church ought to do. I mean, people need some answers today. We all need some answers, individually and corporately. Brother Miller needs some answers in the campground. Brother White needs some answers in his life, possibly, in his ministry. I need many answers. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Somebody was given order. It was Issachar. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need some answers. Turn back to Genesis. Verse 16. Hallelujah. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. How many know Dan brought up the rear of the tribes? Amen. How many know we got to judge ourselves? God never told us we couldn't judge. We just don't judge wrongly. We judge righteous judgment. He never said things should not be judged. How many know there's fornication in the church like in 1 Corinthians 5? It had to be dealt with. It had to be judged. Amen? Hallelujah. But it's righteous judgment. And Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that bites the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I've waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Hallelujah. And if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. I don't know about you, but there isn't a day go by that I don't judge myself in some areas. Maybe not all the areas I should possibly. I believe in repentance. I believe it's a lifestyle. I don't believe it's something we do just once in a while. Can you say amen? We must judge ourselves. Before we can judge anybody else or anything else, we have to judge ourselves. We have to deal with ourselves first before we can deal with others. Amen? Hallelujah. And verse 19. Here's Gad. Gad means a troop or an army. It's a band of men armed and prepared. It speaks of the army of the Lord, I believe. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. How many's ever got knocked down? How many's got back up and overcome that which knocked you down? How many can see overcoming in this one? But it speaks of an army of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a lot more I could say here, but I won't go into it. But I believe he's raising up his army before he comes. I remember Brother Pittman that speaks here. One of the things the Lord said to him, remember when he died and went to the gate of heaven, one of the things the Lord said to him was he was raising up an Elijah army. And that army was to be perfected, or I guess, or matured by fire here on the earth. Well, how many has begun to feel some heat? God is a consuming fire, isn't he? You know, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And we saw in John 14 that place is in the Father. And the Father is life. The Father is light. Come on. The Father is love. And the Father, God, is a consuming fire. Amen? I mean, to go back to the tree of life and to the garden of Eden, in a spiritual experience, you've got to go past the flaming cherubim, which speaks of the anointed Word of God. And God's burning off everything in us that's not of Him, isn't it? I remember the fire's getting hot. But He's given us beauty for ashes. It's a good trade. Amen? Now, so Gad speaks of the army that overcomes. Verse 20. Here's Asher. Asher means happy. happy. This gate speaks of the experience of being content in every circumstance. How many know that's hard in the flesh? How many know that we need happiness and joy? I mean, I know the world talks of happiness, and God talks of joy. Somebody said joy is that which takes over when the mare goes round breaks down. But we need the joy of the Lord. We need to be happy. And it said, Asher, out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Now, turn to Deuteronomy 33, verse 24. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. How many know it's a fruitful people? How many know the happiest, joyous people are fruitful people? Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot, hallelujah, in oil. You hear that? His feet shall be anointed with the Holy Ghost. I'll show you a happy people. Is a people that's anointed by God. And I'm not talking about putting on a plastic face, but I'm talking about something in the heart. Amen. Anybody get that scripture? Did everybody get that last scripture? Some didn't? Okay, it was Deuteronomy 33:24. Is that right? Let's go back. Is that right? 33:24. What did I give you? Yeah, 33:24. Let's go back and read it. Of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. How many know that speaks of judgment? And as thy day so shall thy strength be. Well, what is your strength? The joy of the Lord. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let the weak say, I am. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're just about through. Turn back to Genesis 49. A couple more here. Now, I won't go into Naphtali verse 21. He's a hind let loose. He gives goodly words. How many know we need to give goodly words? I think Naphtali means my wrestling, I think. I mean, Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Well, principalities, spiritual weapons, heaven places, you know, can't even quote them now. It's four things. Principalities, come on. Darkness of this world. Amen, so forth. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. But there's four of them there. I usually can quote it, but for some reason I can't do it. But anyway, we are in a wrestling match with the enemy. Verse 22 now. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Now Joseph, his name means addition or to continue something. I mean, it was a promise to his mother that when he was born, she would have another son. Now Joseph, when you study Joseph's life, you see something, brethren. You see that he is a preserver of life. He is not a destroyer. He is a preserver of life. You know, I go into a lot of meetings. Sometimes I have people prophesy to me. But I don't like them to prophesy death. I don't believe in it. I believe we should prophesy that which edifies. Come on. Comforts, huh? And exhorts. And you can go into a meeting and a person can put a word on you that'll cripple you for a long time if you let it. I've had it happen in my life. And if I'm going to prophesy, I'm going to prophesy good or I ain't going to prophesy. I'm going to prophesy that'll build up the church and not destroy and tear it down. Come on. I don't believe it. I believe we are to preserve life, not destroy life. Now, Joseph was a preserver. I want to show this to you. Turn to Genesis 45. Hallelujah. Genesis 45. Now, I should read it all, but I won't. But look in verse 5 of Genesis 45. Now therefore be not grieved or sad, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. He's speaking to his brother, half-brother. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Now he saw God in it, even though they meant it for evil. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. Verse 7. And God sent me before you to what? Preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Joseph believed in deliverance, Brother Miller. Amen. How many know God's raising some deliverers up in this hour? Anybody got it all yet? I know you haven't. Neither have I. But I want more of it, don't you? So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. So he gave the credit to God. Now, turn to chapter 50. Chapter 50 of this great book. Verse 19. And Joseph said to them, that's his brethren, fear not, I am in the place of God. I'm in God's place. Boy, what a preaching there is on that place in Scripture. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So Joseph was a preserver of life. Hallelujah. That's what I want my life and ministry to be. Preserve and build up, not destroy. Oh, there's things in us that have to go. I mean, there's carnal things and fleshly things and demonic things. I'm not, you know, they have to go. But we're still bringing life. Amen. Now, back to Genesis just a minute, 49. Let's go back to Genesis first. Genesis 49. Then there's a scripture in Deuteronomy on Joseph that we'll look at in just a second. In Genesis 49, let's go back and see what it says about Joseph, verse 22. Joseph, remember Joseph means addition or continual thing, is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. You cannot keep the ministry of Joseph out from behind wall. How many of the wall speaks of man's system? And yet Joseph's vine leaps over the wall. Hallelujah. I mean, Russia tries to stamp out Christianity. China's tried to stamp out Christianity. But God's always got those that can leap over the wall by the Holy Ghost. And as one brother said one time, we're either a climbing vine or a creeping vine. Huh? We either go up or we go down. There's two natures right there, isn't there? I mean, a creeping vine, you try to prop that thing up and it'll go down every time. And one that climbs, you can put something on it, but it'll always shoot up. And so they're in the church. There are two kind of people. There are those who climb and there are those who creep. Hallelujah. I want to be a climbing vine. I'll go over every wall that's by the power of God. Not in my strength, but in Him. Now notice, it said He run over the wall. But David said, what did he say? He ran through a troop and he leaped over a wall. Verse 23. The archers, here's the other ministry, have sorely grieved him, shot at him and hated him. Joseph, this Joseph ministry, this ministry that preserves life, this ministry that jumps and leaps the walls, he's not very well liked. He's hated. He shot at. Thank God they don't hit him. But listen to what it says in verse 24. But his bow, he don't miss. A bow in strength, his arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven, above blessing to the that lieth under blessing to the breast of the womb. The blessing of thy father hath prevailed upon above the blessings of thy progenitors under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. He separated. A preserver of life. But we could say a lot more. Let me give you the scripture in Deuteronomy. I won't look at it. I was going to, but I won't. Deuteronomy 33, 13 through 17 speaks of that which is about Joseph. Sometime you can read it. Let's look at the last son. Look here now in chapter 49, verse 27. We've hurriedly went through this. But in verse 27, Benjamin. And I believe God's raising up the son of the right hand, don't you? I mean, that's what Benjamin means. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Notice that. He's a ravening wolf. God is going to tear things down in the church, that which is carnal and demonic, through Benjamin. Amen. And notice, in the morning he shall devour the prey, but at night, how many of the nights coming when it says no man can work? How many are tribulations coming upon the earth? We can see it even on the horizon coming, can't we? Anybody's blind that can't see it and feel it. Darkness shall cover the earth in gross darkness, but the glory of God is going to come on His people.
Amen.
Don't get your eye on the tribulation. Don't get your eye on the darkness. Get your eye on Him.
Amen.
Who's bringing the glory. Hallelujah. In the midst of all of it. He shall devour the prey at night. He shall divide the spoil. He'll have something to give at night in the darkness. Benjamin, the son of the right hand. Now turn back to Genesis 30. Just a second. Let me give you one scripture here. I think it's 34. Hallelujah. 34? 35. Now look at verse 16. This is the last scripture we'll look into. Genesis 35, 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, the house of God. And there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. Now, Rachel is one of the seven women of Scripture that was barren. She's a type of the church right here, chapter 12 of Revelation. How many know there's a church going to bring forth a son? In travail. Now, it said she was in hard, she travailed and was in hard labor. It's going to take some hard travailing in the Spirit to bring forth this man child, these sons of God, which we won't go into today. It came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife, now here is a prophetic ministry at this time saying something to the church, to the woman. Notice what the midwife said to her. I mean, the midwife speaks of that ministry that cuts away the flesh and preserves life. Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. How many know the church needs to hear that today? Fear not. You're going to give birth to a son. I mean, we're talking Scripture. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died. And as the church dies to her desire, to her flesh, the things that she loves, God will bring forth Benjamin. I'm talking about a corporate body now. Not just one man. Amen. For it says here that she called his name Benoni, which means a son of sorrow. But the father said, no, his name shall be Benjamin, the son of the right hand. So you start with Reuben. You're born again experience. You behold a son. And you end up with Benjamin, the son of the right hand. I mean, no, he wants to take a people to the throne. But it's going to be to those that overcome. Overcome. It's not an automatic yes, or we're there, just because we know these things. Amen. There is that daily dying out to ourselves and to our flesh. And loving Jesus. And obeying Jesus. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Our Father, we thank you today that we can behold the Son. And Lord, we can come on into you through those 12 experiences, through that government of God, and mature in thee, Lord, that we'll be changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and from strength to strength. Father, challenge everyone in this building today that none of us are in that perfect place yet where you have for us, that you have for us, Lord. But there is yet a climbing and a pressing and are moving on up in the things of God. Lord, take away those things that would hinder us, that would blind us, that would cause us not to hear, that would cause us not to understand. We ask today a mighty visitation from the Holy Spirit in our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. Oh, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. I'd like to minister to a few of you today, not in the Spirit, not in prophecy. But I want some 10 or 15, or how many there are here today, that are going through struggles and trials in your life right now. I want you to come and let me minister to you before we go to lunch. Come on up. That's how I feel to minister today. I don't feel to prophesy. We're going to just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're just going to agree with you. We're just going to agree with you, lay hands upon you, and pray for you. Okay, let's start. Let's start with you. And as we pray for you, just go back to your seat. Okay. What is your need now? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of that thing. We loose her in the name of Jesus from that cult. God, we believe it in the name of Jesus. Go after her, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Just tell me your need real quick as you come up. Your family. Father, touch your family. We pray for a miracle of this family in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, convict of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 Direction in their business. Heavenly Father, we ask the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit to come into their individual personal life business, Lord, and give them that direction that's ordered by Thee, Lord. We ask it and believe it, Father. You said ask and you shall receive. We agree with them now, Lord, in Jesus' name, that direction shall come to them by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, sister. What is your name? Lord, touch the husband. We bind the powers of darkness in his nerves, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask a healing and a deliverance in this, in his nerves, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, heal and deliver her husband. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brother? Lord, give our brother direction in the Holy Ghost, we ask today, in the name of Jesus. Father, pour out your Spirit upon him and show him your will and your way and your direction, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who else is next? Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, touch your family today in the name of Jesus. Reach out to each one of them, Lord. Save them and deliver them, Lord God. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen. Lord, give her direction in the ministry and sell her home. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Father, we loose a buyer. We loose a buyer for this home in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for specific direction for her in the ministry, we ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father. Amen. Don't come to the Word of God, too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother? Lord, touch his family in the name of Jesus. Touch his family, Lord, in Jesus' name, and give him direction. Give him direction, illumination by the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, touch your family in the name of Jesus. God in heaven, reach out to them, Lord. Save them, Lord God. Restore, 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 Lord. Let restoration come to that family in the name of Jesus, Father. Amen and amen. Brother, what's your need? Yes, Father, give our brother direction in the teaching ministry. Open the doors, open the way up for him, God. And God, shine your light upon him and in him, Lord. And let him know the will, the way, the purpose, the plan of God in his ministering life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Was you a few? Okay. Wes. Lord, touch him in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirits over him, Lord, that would come against him. We stand against, Lord, this spirit that would come against his mind and against retardation. We rebuke it. We take dominion over retardation and that which would attack the mental realm, the mind realm. Loose him. Loose him in the name. Oh, hallelujah. Loose him. Let the light of God come into him today, Lord. Minister to Wes, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister? Lord, touch your family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And touch your mother, Lord. We take authority over that fear, Lord. And God, touch this individual right here. We ask the Spirit of God to minister to her, Lord. In the name of Jesus, by your authority and by your power. Oh, hallelujah. Touch your family and touch this mother. We bind the spirit of fear, Lord. And we loose this woman. We loose her now, Lord. Amen. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen. Reach your hands out towards him. Would you do that? No. Everybody reach your hands out to this man. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come against the spirit of destruction against this man. We cut off that spirit in the name of Jesus. We cut off that spirit of destruction. You have no power. You have no right over him in the name of Jesus. And we loose him in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask you to touch him today in his heart, in his mind, his emotions, and in his body. Lord God, we cut off that. Oh, hallelujah. We loose him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Do you feel that, brother? Amen. Yes, in Jesus' name. And touch that other need in his life, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. Father God, your will in our sister's life, in the name of Jesus. The will of God. The will, the plan, and the purpose of Almighty God in her life. Lord, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Give her that, Lord. Show it to her. Reveal it to her, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Read John chapter 8. That'll help you a little bit. Lord, give direction to him. Give direction to this man, Lord. Touch his family. Touch those that are lost. Those that need Jesus, Lord. Lord God, we ask the Holy Spirit to reach out to him, Lord. But reach out to this man, Lord. Reach out to him in his need, his hurts. Oh God, his frustrations, Lord. We ask you to heal and deliver him today, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, my God. Amen. God bless you, brother. Okay. Lord, help her to sell her home. Again, Lord, send a buyer and give direction in her ministering life, Father. Let her know the will, the plan of God. Let her know inside. Let her know without someone coming and saying, this is the will. Lord, let her know it inwardly first. And then, Lord, confirm it. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for selling the home and showing this woman thy will in the ministry, Lord. And I thank you for this precious one, Jesus. Amen. 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 Lord, give direction to him. Take away all the babbling, all the confusion, Lord. You're the God of peace. We bind the spirit of confusion. And God, we ask you to touch his family today. We ask you to reach out to his family members, Lord God, in a mighty way, Lord. Restore and heal that which has been separated and divided, Lord. We ask you to mend it up and heal it. Bring it together in restoration. And God, we thank you for giving him peace in the name of Jesus. Amen, brother. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Let's pray for the dinner today. We'll just go ahead and dismiss. Father, we thank you for the food. We thank you for the hands that's prepared it, Lord. God, we thank you. You're the giver of all gifts. Thank you for that which we eat and drink. We bless you in Jesus' name for it. And everybody said,
this is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.